You know, we ain't backing off nobody. We're not gonna back off. We're gonna come in every building. We're gonna play our game. We're gonna play. We're gonna be tough. We're not gonna back off anybody. You know, and that's just our mindset. And we don't care who it is. We respect them. We respect their building. We respect their fans. But guess what? We're gonna play here. We're gonna go back to Toronto. We gotta handle our business.
What's going on, everybody? And welcome to the hottest show in TO, Sports from the Six. I'm Joe Narsa, alongside the fabulous, unbelievable, and amazing Flip Livingstone. Yes. Flip, what's going on, buddy?
Joe, it's been a little while since you and I have collaborated in our favorite spot, the radio booth at Centennial College. And I'm happy to be here like always, pal. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been a good time in the six. It's been getting warmer and colder.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's been, you know what? It's not snowing, so I'll take that.
I'll take it.
Our city's teams have been rolling as best as they can. Yep. Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad when they're rolling.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just been so hype around the city, and you got to give a lot of credit right off the bat to the way the Raptors have been playing these last couple weeks.
I think so, especially because, you know what, you and I have been kind of hard on this team this year. And you know what, off the jump from the season, I thought maybe it could be a step back year for them. It was going to be a tough year in the East. Teams got better around them as well. And they've proved me wrong to a degree, definitely. And I think it's got to start with the two stars, Kyle and DeMar, and then trickles down to guys like Bismack Biyombo, who we talked about before the show, who's having a career year. And they're playing good team basketball, and they're winning. So they're going for the franchise record tonight, or tie the franchise record.
Yeah, absolutely. Tonight against Boston in Boston.
So going for 49 wins on the year, their best year. Dwayne Casey again getting praise for being another solid coach. This is his fifth
year, I think.
Let me count this. 1, 2, 3, 4. Fifth season as Raptors head coach. And playoff time is a different beast, and who knows what they can do because we know the track record.
Right.
And recent success or lack thereof. I still have doubts. Do you? What are you thinking? What do you think? I know they're playing good. We're giving them their props. I don't want to poo-poo on anyone's parade here because it is positive and they're playing great. If they come up against the Chicago Bulls in the playoffs, why would we be confident?
I mean, I think the only doubts I have with the Toronto Raptors is that I doubt that the starting roster that we and everyone envisioned at the beginning of the year is going to be the roster that's going to dominate and is going to be the one they use in the playoffs. I mean, I don't see, I'm like a lot of people right now, and I've been on this train for a while, that I don't see JV's potential
Here
ability.
Here we go. You're back on JV.
I am.
Just from day one. Hey, at least we're consistent.
And that's the thing. I make sure to be consistent, and
nice.
I will change my tune if somebody deserves it. I've done it with Nazem Kadri.
Boom.
I haven't done it with JV because you just see the difference when Biyombo's in there. And
the energy.
Right? It's the energy. It's the enthusiasm.
I love
it. It's the physicality.
I love it.
Right? And for me, the thing that I've noticed also is that glimpse that we had gotten about on Bebe, watching his hands, watching his mobility.
Okay. So you're a Bebe fan.
I'm a fan of the combo of Biyombo and Bebe. I like that
the Biyombo Bebe. There's a good, like, there's a good, you know, those like Kojo, the Ben, the Brad, the Brennifers, those
things?
Yeah,
they could be.
Yeah, there's a good combo name there somewhere, but a smarter man will figure it out.
We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
But when you look at what the Raptors are going to have to do in the playoffs with their hot streak, I just like the way their mentality is going into this.
Me too.
This playoff stretch.
Me too.
Kyle Lowry said after practice yesterday, I'd lie to you if I said we don't care about winning 50.
Mm-hmm.
We do. That's a big moment in the NBA.
Yeah, these guys care about where they finish. They care about the seasons. They do care about these marks. That's why I was saying, you know, we mentioned they're 1.5 games back at Cleveland now. Cleveland's not struggling, but maybe not hitting the stride people expected to down the stretch, kind of like the Raptors are.
But isn't that crazy? Like, look at the stretch the Raptors are on, and they're still a game and a half back, and everybody's still smashing all over the Cavs.
It's because it's LeBron, but it's because
it's
LeBron.
But are the Cavs supposed to win every game?
Well, I guess it's just maybe the nature of the team, and this is what happens when you have a guy like LeBron on there. All eyes are on you. It's
kind
of like
when his own team.
Yeah, that's. But did you see, to get off on a little tangent?
Yeah.
So he LeBron James unfollowed the Cleveland Cavaliers on Instagram.
Yeah.
Then when he was asked about it, he said he was going into zero dark 23, this mode of LeBron James that he shuts out all social media and whatever.
Yeah.
Then 2 days later, he tweets out that he's joining Snapchat to give his fans an inside look at his journey. And I'm like, figure it out, bud. Anyway.
Yeah.
1.5 games back. You're talking about Lowry caring about hitting these marks. And I mentioned to you what Tyronn Lue, the coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, said.
Yeah, they don't care about first.
They don't care about finishing first, which I think is a total load of BS.
Yeah.
They care about resting players down the stretch, and that will be their focus. He came out and said that rest will be more important to them than standing. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying that one bit. The Raptors are on their heels. That's a way to take the pressure off your team. Smart move. Smart move by the coach. But I'm not buying it, Tyronn Lue. The Raptors are cooking right now. 4 straight, 8 out of 10, and they're coming for that first place spot. But is that a good thing, Joe? They come against Chicago. Wouldn't you rather Indiana?
You know what the thing is? I think we played this game last year.
Of course. We play it every year. It's Toronto.
And I think that was the biggest mistake because I feel like the Raptors team played this game also. I think they sat in their room and they're like, you know what?
Point.
If we end up with Washington, like that's the team we want.
Great point.
And I felt this every time the Raptors have been in the playoffs, but once against Brooklyn.
Okay. Yeah, that was a great series.
Right. And they didn't want that matchup. Everyone said this was the matchup that was going to be bad for the Raptors because they're a veteran team and they could push them around.
Good
Ultimately,
point.
They did.
They did just that.
But the Raptors were up 3-2 in that series, and the Raptors got daggered by Paul Pierce.
Yeah, that... Well,
right?
I can't believe... You know how I feel about Paul Pierce.
I'm sorry.
Like, honestly, my blood level goes from 0 to 100. Shout out Drake.
Yeah.
Like, real quick.
Yeah.
I hate Paul Pierce.
I'm sorry.
Before that series anyway, I hated him. He killed us in that series, but you're right. That series, there was a feeling in Toronto that they could win it.
Right.
And right down to the wire. Right down to the wire. The Washington series, I think after game one, it was like, pack it in, boys. You're going to get swept.
Right. And every time I find, when you look at the Raptors' playoff losses, and that's including if we go back to when they lost to the Sixers.
Right.
There was always this extenuating circumstance or a feeling of comfort. Because that year, you were like, well, it's fine. We have Vince Carter. It doesn't matter who we play. Yeah, AI's all
right. Or if he goes
right.
to his graduation.
Exactly. But then, they were still comfortable with the Knicks. They weren't that comfortable with the Knicks. They were worried about it because, again, another physical team
I see
back
what you're,
then.
Where you're going with this.
So, in this case, the Raptors might go into the playoffs, and if they can take one message from the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Ottawa Senators, in the Leafs' heydays in the early 2000s, used to own the Maple Leafs in the regular season.
Very true.
In some years, they used to actually beat them 6 straight games.
Well, and also a couple of those years, Ottawa finished in first.
Right.
And the Leafs squeaked in 8th and then beat them in the first round.
Exactly. And how many times did the Leafs actually dismantle Ottawa? And they swept them twice in 4 series they played against them in 6 years.
So the point you're trying to make is...
that I don't think the Raptors should be worried about who they play because I think the Raptors firmly believe that they are an Eastern Conference final team.
Mm-hmm.
And once they get to LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, then it's no holds barred. Then you go out. If you break a knee, you break a knee. That's, I think, the tempo that the Raptors are going into the playoffs with.
I agree.
And that's why I like the fact that for the Raptors' side... they're saying, yeah, we want to win 50 games. We want to win as many games as we can. Winning 50 is a big thing.
I agree.
Whereas Cleveland is trying to be tentative, like you're saying, and they're saying, oh, well, you know, we're going to rest, guys. We don't really care that much. We just want to get into the playoffs.
I really like where you're going because that it's almost the false sense of security.
Exactly.
Where you're going in and, like you said, against, well, oh, you know what? No, we dealt with Washington last year in the regular season. Then they go into the playoffs with that false sense of security and get swept away. So maybe you're going somewhere with that. If they get matched up against Chicago, they got to bring that A game. With that being said, though, watching those games this year against the Bulls.
Not good.
Not good. I know a couple of them were close down the stretch, but they gave up a lot of points. That's what worries me. They've done really well on the defensive side of the ball. I'm not looking at the numbers right here, but I know one of the games they gave up like 115, like 100 and something.
And Jimmy Butler went off for 42 points
in
the
second
half.
In a couple of the games. So, you know what, there's an explanation for it, but I would be more comfortable with Indiana as a Raptors fan. That would be the matchup I would like. Looking at the Eastern Conference, though, I think what you said about them considering themselves an Eastern Conference final team, I think they have to. They're playing Boston tonight, and Boston's had a pretty good season, an upstart team. I don't think anyone really expected them to be in a fifth position in the Eastern Conference, but look at the bottom of it. Milwaukee, Washington, Detroit, these teams are garbage.
Yeah.
Chicago in eighth. I'm surprised they're even that low, but it just goes to show you the Eastern Conference isn't very strong.
Well, the thing with the Eastern Conference is they finally have a legitimate, like, top two.
And agreed. Great point.
I think that's kind of evened out the balance where you look at teams. Yeah, you look at teams like Chicago and you're like, you know what? You're only an eighth seed because, God forbid, Derrick Rose plays three games a season.
Yeah.
So, like, when you look at...
I feel bad for that guy. He's made of glass. Some guys are just like that.
You know what?
Is he getting heated about Derrick Rose?
Here's my deal.
Oh, here we go.
Okay.
Wait, did you throw something at him
No, we never fought.
All right.
But Derrick Rose just pisses me off. He bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
I agree.
You're killing it today.
I've agreed with, like, everything you've said.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
3 years ago, Derrick Rose was my favorite player in the NBA. I loved everything about him. I loved his physicality. I loved his attitude. I loved his swagger. He could change a game with a shot.
One of those Derrick Rose balls, the basketballs with the DR on it? You didn't have
I
one?
I almost bought the shoes.
Oh, man.
I did. And I'm a huge shoe guy.
The ball was pretty sick. Anyway, sorry.
So I was like, I loved watching him play.
Yeah.
And he was tenacious, and I loved it.
Love that word.
And then, like, every year, he gets hurt, and then he refuses to test his limits after he gets hurt. And I start questioning.
Sally.
Yeah, and I start questioning whether he's actually as hurt as he believes he is.
Okay.
Or he's just really soft. Because at some point, and this is what, this really bothers me with a lot of basketball players.
Hold on, let me just get the sweat.
Yeah,
there you go.
It's just dripping.
Yeah.
Everybody talks about, oh, yeah, you remember when Jordan played with a flu and he was throwing up and he scored 50?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, why don't one of you guys do that for once? Like, LeBron James leaves the court with six guys holding him because he got, like, a cramp in his leg. And the same night, like...
Let's not go there.
But wasn't it the same year, like, this is not a hockey versus basketball conversation, but Stamkos, like, broke his leg in half and he was skating off the ice.
Yeah, he ran and crashed into the post.
Right? And I just, like, I love Derrick Rose's talent. I think he's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And if Derrick Rose gets healthy, because he hasn't played basketball for 3 years, realistically.
Yeah. Isn't he healthy now?
I guess. But the last game I saw, he was on the bench, like, in all black, just like, yeah, man, yeah, do that play. That play's going to be sick.
That's the classic Derrick Rose. That's the Derrick Rose position.
So that's why I'm not afraid of them. Realistically, I look down at it, and I'm like, well, who's your superstar? Okay, you got Jimmy Butler. That's fine. Joakim Noah's been injured for the last year and a half.
Pau Gasol's
Pau's been good, but at the same time, like, he's not the Pau of old.
I think Pau's the – him and Butler are the only reason probably why they give Toronto such fits.
Right, but then you look at that and you say, okay, well, I think with a threesome of Biombo, Valanciunas, and if, you know, you have – Another five you can roll in there, depending on who you want.
Mix in a bit of Luis Scola, maybe.
Right, just to get a foul and get out. I mean, that can potentially be a wash. You might actually win that one.
Well,
big deal, Butler versus Lauer, DeRozan, you choose. But the Raptors have the talent to beat
Chicago in the long run. Definitely. I just, you know what, there's a reason why they've given them fits this year. And
yeah.
You know what, you've said the mentality thing. Like, they can take it the way you mentioned and, like, yeah, these guys have beat us all year. Let's, you know, rah-rah, let's bring our A game. But they can also take it like, boys, these guys, we've had our best year yet, and these guys have taken it to us. So it could go either way. And before we move on from the Raps, you brought up Bismack Biyombo. And
yes.
He needs a little bit of cred here for
a
second.
He's, like, becoming my favorite Raptor.
I said this. I came back from Costa Rica, burnt, a little bit upset about the Heat.
Yeah.
Reading up on the Raps, what they had done. They brought in Corey Joseph, Damari Carroll, and I see Bismack Biyombo. I'm like, that's a little bit of a under-the-radar move.
Yeah.
A little bit of a interesting move. Some people didn't really like the move. One, the name is amazing, so I loved it. Two, he's a rim defender, and he brings energy. We mentioned it a minute ago. So much energy from this guy. Every time he comes on the floor, the crowd goes wild. He's a fan favorite. He's playing his heart out. He wears his heart on his sleeve, kind of a guy. And I really like him. Also, he's kind of funny. He's into the social media. I saw him. Did you see him respond to Shaq? He got chirped on Shaqt and a Fool.
No, he did not.
Yeah, he got chirped on Shaqt and a Fool, and I forget why, what play it was. But anyway, his response to Shaq was, hey, yeah, you saw my miss. How about the 3,742 times you missed the free throw? How about that? See you later, Shaq. And it's just like, he's funny. I like the guy. So when you talk about him being having the player option, and does he come back? What happens with him? I think you got to bring him back, no?
Well, the issue is how much are you going to bring him back for?
That is the issue.
So the question is...
He's going to get paid.
Right. And with JV making about $15 million next year, $17 the year after, and
your
$18
the
year after, JV, my best friend.
Yeah.
Will
what do you, do? Yeah.
Well, yeah. Do you sit there and do you look at the potential of moving JV if in this playoffs Bismack becomes an absolute dominant center? Because he's proven this year that he has the ability to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's great is he does it from the defensive end first. And there's been a lot of great centers that have been able to do that. And I think ever since the last center and the last big man I remember really like imposing his will.
Mm.
And like no offense to Antonio Davis because like he was pretty solid. Except,
Raptors big man, you mean?
Yeah, Raptors big man.
Chris Bosh.
Yeah, but Bosh was a different beast because Bosh was offense first, defense later.
Okay, so where are you going?
I'm going Charles Oakley.
Whoa, I love the Oak show.
Because I think...
Antonio Davis was a good shout-out,
though.
He was pretty decent.
Until he, like, talked about how Toronto doesn't have good schools and, like, we're a bad city. And
yeah,
I was
he's
like,
an idiot.
Yeah, but then we bring him back. And then things like that... Never mind. Sorry.
Yeah.
So many things bother me.
We're on a few tangents today. We're a little aggressive.
Right.
We've had a lot of bent-up rage.
Yeah. But that makes a good show.
I hope so.
That makes a good show.
You know, those four or five people, they're going to be on the edge of their seats.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God, this episode. Woo!
Yeah, in their basement, like, really mad because their last light bulb just burnt out, and now they can't see the pink panther fluff all around them.
Sounds like my house. Anyway, go ahead.
So,
what
like,
were we talking about?
Biyombo.
Okay.
His attitude, his versatility, his physicality, all the things that Biyombo offers the Raptors,
right.
I think... makes him somewhat of a leader. He sets tempo.
He sets the tempo,
which
for
is
sure.
awesome.
But the thing is now like I'm not sure what he's getting paid this year, but I'm
he's
sure
getting paid like two to
nothing.
4 million.
Nothing.
I think.
So next year
yeah.
he's going to double that. Let's say.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
even if he's at 9 million, that's not a bad deal.
Is it though? Like I mean, like
well,
when
Ross is making whatever he's making.
I just mean when you compare it to like what they're going to have to spend.
Well, you have $100 million next year.
Is that what it is?
Well, it goes up to like 90-something
million.
Cap's
going up again?
Well, yeah. That's why everybody...
Oh,
like,
yeah,
that's why,
right. No,
like,
it
LeBron's
already,
gonna opt out. Everyone's gonna opt out all over
they
again.
They announced that the cap's going up again. That's
right.
My slip.
So, like, Terrence, you're gonna have DeMar DeRozan getting his 25 mil.
So you bring him back then?
Yeah, but you gotta remember, too, if you re-sign your own players and then you start bleeding into the luxury,
yeah.
If you have players that you signed before that... they're the ones that start bleeding into luxury, and you don't actually pay a luxury tax on them.
Gotcha.
So you can have almost like $130 million salary, but that first 100 can be other players, or they can mix into that, and then your own players that are a max deal bleed into the luxury without actually getting taxed.
Got it. Here's the thing, though, with Bismack. Does he get starting center money? Because he's been playing that way. But
yeah.
Mind you, he's still coming off the bench most nights. Does he get, because you're saying, we're talking potential hypotheticals.
Yeah.
He plays great down the stretch like he continues to do, and he takes over starting minutes
yeah.
in the playoffs. Does he get, he's going to get more money.
Well, I think the way the Raptors are built, I think that's what's allowing Bismack Biyombo to be as successful as he is.
It's got to get some props to Dwayne Casey, too.
Right, and I think... to answer that question, if you looked at somebody like, I know this is a big time reference, but remember Zydrunas Ilgauskas?
Whoa.
He wasn't the best offensive
big
center
Z.
in the world. Big Z.
Big Z. I loved Big Z.
But he fit into a mold where the backcourt really led that team.
Yeah, I like it.
And you did, okay, granted, like, okay, LeBron's like a 3-4,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
but like LeBron
no,
is basically a shooting guard.
I know where you're
he
going.
Does it. He does it all.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a center who was able to just be physical. You know, Ben Wallace made a career out of that. You know, even so guys like that, I think, have a space in the NBA. I don't think you naturally have to have anymore a number one center who can post up 15 points a game because I don't think that's where the NBA is. Like, Steph Curry's hitting 8-point shots from like
well,
his
and
own
they're
house.
Winning. They're winning games, right?
Exactly.
At the end of the day, the Raptors are winning games, and I think. If they continue to play the way they are, I think they'll definitely be in the Eastern Conference Final, but I really don't see them beating the Cleveland Cavaliers.
The only way I see the Raptors beating the Cavs is if the Cavs go into implode mode. Like, if it's just like Kevin Love refuses to battle, Kyrie Irving refuses to pass, he gets hurt.
Someone gets hurt.
And you know what? I'm of the firm belief that LeBron James has been taking it easy all year. I think he knows that he has to do a lot more. Yeah, I swear to God.
You know what? I'm crazy.
I think he's shutting her down.
Like, I think we're getting a little long in the tooth here on the basketball, but that point could be a whole other show.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think he has kind of been holding it back a little bit because he's learned. He's learned you burn out the tank, and he carries teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, and he plays 40. He's been playing 46 minutes for 11 years.
Last finals, he was averaging like above 42 minutes. He was literally playing 43 out of 48 minutes or something ridiculous.
Me and you agreed that LeBron James was the MVP.
Well, no, stop. So, anyway.
But you know,
the opening day starter was announced for the Toronto Blue Jays.
The Blue Jays pitching staff MVP.
We don't need to get into the NBA Finals MVP.
You know he's pissed when there's a refusal of segue.
Ever again.
It's just like, okay, and moving on to the diamond.
Marcus Stroman was announced, and you know what? He earned it. I don't think this was a shock to anyone.
No,
Marcus
if you follow him on Snapchat, it's not a shock at
Marcus
all.
Marcus Stroman earned that number one spot last year, coming down in the playoffs. I love the kid. I really do, and he's a popular athlete in Toronto. He's got the hat line. He's got HDMH. He's rapping in songs. Like, I just love this kid.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean anything when it comes down to April 3rd and the pitch flies. That's what I care about. That's what the six cares about. I think he's going to bring it this year. But now guys have seen him a couple times, especially in the AL East. I still think he's going to have a great year. I'm going after him in my fantasy pool hard. But it's his homie that we really should be talking about, right?
Sancheesy.
Aaron Sanchez put on 25 pounds of muscle or 20 pounds, whatever it is. He got jacked up. He took this role of a potential starter seriously. And everything that I've seen, read, and heard about his performance in the spring training so far has been aces.
Yeah.
Straight stellar. The stuff is live. He's got more velocity. He's locating the ball. And he's like, what's he working on? The curveball has been like deadly.
Yeah. Well, he's missing a changeup. He needs a solid changeup. Yeah, which he's been working on also.
Yeah, he's working on it, but I think hands down he's got to be the fifth.
Well, I mean, my goal for Aaron Sanchez would be, okay, you want to start the season as a fifth by all means, but you have to move Ari Dickey out of the top four.
You think so?
Yeah, because it goes back to the conversation we had like right after the playoffs had ended, and we were talking about what the potential future is of the Blue Jays. And I said to you, the Blue Jays cannot have R.A. Dickey on that roster in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He's got to be the Mark Burley, or he's got to be in the bullpen. You can't have him starting because not knowing what you're going to get out of a pitcher at that specific ridiculous level of the unknown is too much to gamble on in the playoffs, especially with an offense like the Blue Jays, that you know if you are just average, just be average, unless you're for some reason David Price. But if you're just average, the offense will do it for you.
That's true.
So,
but I'm going to – go ahead, sorry. Go ahead
so
and finish.
For me, I'm looking at what Sanchez is proving in the spring training this year is he has the ability to improve his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And –
yeah, that's clear.
But I'm blanking on the person who was talking to who just spoke to David Price, he asked David Price, "Who are you looking at this year for the Blue Jays? Like one pitcher that stands out for you?" And he's like, "Obviously, I love my boy Stroman, but Stroman's the leader. That's his rotation."
Yeah,
he goes, "Aaron Sanchez." He goes, "That dude has stuff." He's like, he throws sinkers at 97 sometimes. He touches the gun sometimes at 98, 99.
Yeah.
And you can't even tell he's pushing back.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, that dude's got stuff. He's like, I'm excited to watch him pitch.
I'm excited to watch him pitch, and hearing that, I'm even more excited.
Yeah. Oh, because, Steve Phillips. I apologize. Steve Phillips.
Nice. Because that's like the insider track on what he saw. David Price is saying he's got nasty stuff. You know, we've heard that. We know that. But that's... you know, that gets me excited. But to go against what you were saying about R.A. Dickey,
yeah,
this is my take on Dickey. Also, apparently, again, reading up and watching this year, this spring training, apparently he's never been in this good of shape as a Blue Jay. apparently. Yeah. You know, the sky is blue over here on this side of Dunedin, so he's been feeling good. And, you know, the waves and the dolphins and everything.
Yeah, the grass grows the right angle.
Yeah, he's on the right angle of his sleep right now. But anyway, he's been looking good. He's healthy. The knee is okay. He's a workhorse. And I get the point in the playoffs. He might be a bit of a liability if you're also going down to a three-guy rotation. You need him in the regular season, I think. And also, he's in a contract year as well. And this is his legit, Joey and Eddie are going into their last big potential contract.
Yeah.
This is like his last kick at getting more than a one-year minimum or whatever. Like, he could sign a 2-year or a 3-year if he plays good this year. Who knows? It's a big year for Dickey. I expect him to have a good season. Same kind of scenarios with Eddie and Joey. It's a payoff year. He's in a contract year. Could be huge for the Jays.
But for Ari Dickey, like what you're saying is, that totally makes sense to me, that the pitcher believes this is a big year for him. He needs to pitch well.
Yeah.
Who cares? His ball will do whatever it wants. That's like,
well,
I agree with you. I know what you're saying, but you don't know if that's going to happen.
Of course not.
So, but we don't know it to a crazy degree because
he's a knuckleballer?
Yeah, you don't know what the knuckleball is going to do. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. He says it's probably the most frustrating thing Blue Jays fans hear, but he was just like, it wasn't working today.
Yeah.
It's
crazy. Fair. That's
crazy
fair.
To believe.
It's fair. And you know what? I guess that's what you get with a knuckleball pitcher, especially one who's 40 or whatever he is. I just, you know what, you know, I got to go with gut feelings and I got to go with what I've read and seen. And if he is healthy, if he is feeling good, for like he's saying he's never felt this good in his career, that combined with the bats behind him, combined with the season he had last year, he pitched pretty good, all these things, and the contract year, I got to go with, if I was going to predict, like you said, anything can happen. He can come out and give up 9 home runs. Like, this gets like batting practice sometimes. But if I were to pick which way it was going to go, I would have to say he's going to have a good year. He's going to get his losses. He's going to give up his dingers. They're going to be in those slugfest games. But I think he's one of those, you know, guys that you need on the thing. He's going to maybe hopefully throw high 3 ERA, hopefully get like 14, 15 wins. It'll probably come with 13 or 14 losses. That's what Dickey is.
Yeah.
But if that's what he is on your fourth rotation, if you're saying you can get 15 wins out of your fourth guy.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that's a win.
Well, I mean, the Blue Jays are going to have a crazy amount of depth within their pitching rotation.
Well, there's options.
Well, I think that's where when they refused to go and spend a ton of money on one guy, it was because they decided that they want a 6, 7, and 8 guy that can pitch in the 4 or 5 slot depending on what's going on in the season.
Well, and now looking at that, how that's unfolded and how now the bullpen is looking pretty good and with Sanchez pitching pretty good right now, things are starting to look okay in terms of the decisions that were made by Shapiro and Atkins. And I think you got to give them a little bit of credit.
No.
Because there's no games in played? Is that why we're giving them none?
I give them no credit.
Okay.
They did their job as best as they can. Ultimately, at a team like this, the fact that you don't have a number one ace in baseball is ridiculous. So I can't give them any credit on that. I think that was a joke.
But if they make the playoffs,
it's all sunshine and rainbows right now because they've won like 11 games in spring training. They've been playing fantastic.
Thank you.
But ultimately, you're welcome. But ultimately, I think it's not going to be all sunshine and rainbows through the rest of the season because there's going to be question marks up at the top of the rotation. The bullpen
Where?
On the other.
With
well,
who?
Well, you don't have. Like, listen.
You're just saying it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Okay.
You don't have
you don't
a number.
Know who.
You don't have a number one. I don't believe you do. I think.
You don't think Stroman's a number one?
Not yet. I think Stroman is about 1 to 2 years away from being that dominant number one ace that you can be like, okay, there's these guys and there's Marcus Stroman and they're all in the same category.
Well, that's fair because, his name's not up there with the dominant pitchers that, you know, like the Chris Sales, the Felix Hernandez, is obviously he's not there yet. He hasn't earned it.
Right.
But the way he threw last year down the stretch.
Unbelievable.
The potential's there to be a dominant guy like that.
Totally agree with you.
But until he starts doing it, you're right. You can't put his name in amongst those guys.
Yeah.
But if he pitches like one, what's the difference?
No, and I totally agree. I mean, if you can get if you develop a number one ace and it happens earlier than later, that's unbelievable for you. And you got, they're geniuses, and I'll eat my words.
They're going to give them the shot, right? He's going to get the shot to prove to be the dude. He clearly had flashes of that down the stretch last year. You know, his numbers are good. 3.31 ERA over his career 157 innings. That's good for a young guy. Wasn't he developing the changeup in this spring too? I know he was working on a pitch or something.
I think he developed a two-seamer last spring training.
Something he was throwing in one of those games was like aggressive movement.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, you know what? I'm excited for the year, and I should temper my excitement and look at it more through the journalistic lens and like go, okay, like how are they going to do? I'm pumped up. I do think that it's going to be a good year for them. But we got to remember what happened last year. They put up crooked numbers on teams all the time.
Right.
They embarrassed some teams. Yankees, Bo Sox. They embarrassed some of these teams that are perennially good and perennially do it to us, it to Toronto. That is something that this year in those close games that, you know, JD's home runs won it for you, I think those close games now are going to be going more the other way because you embarrassed those teams last year. You know, they have the fire. Now you're the AL East champs. Now you're coming into town as the AL East champs, and you're going to get the best out of all those teams every time.
Right.
I just look at it that way. You know, there's a little bit more.
It's true.
The target's on your back now. The expectations are there. How do you deal with that? Yeah, the same lineup's coming back. I love it. It's awesome. But how do you deal with all that?
Well, I think what's been remarkable for the Blue Jays is that you're having Stroman look dominant. Sanchez has looked great. Troy Tulowitzki looks like he's getting more comfortable.
No, Tulo, that's, I think, could be the X factor.
And that's
going to
be a great X factor. But you know what, for me,
the
most interesting story out of spring training since, you know, the...
Besides
the Mexican standoffs.
The hoopla?
Is Roberto Osuna has said that he doesn't want to be a starter. That he's not a starter. He wants to be a closer. So I look at this two ways.
Yeah. Did we know this already, though?
Not really. Okay. I think the assumption was that Osuna is...
There was a potential to go
I think everyone had assumed that he's going to be in the bullpen again, and then we're like Blue Jays are going to develop him into a starter.
So where's your two things with Osuna, and then we can move on to our favorite subject.
So the Osuna saying he doesn't want to be a starter and he doesn't believe he can go 200 innings...
Mm-hmm.
Not a huge fan.
Not buying it.
Because I'm like, if the king of that pitching staff is Stroman, he's proven that he wants his staff head on, nose to the grindstone, and he wants all his pitchers to look the cameras in the face and be like, I want to win 20 games.
Mm-hmm.
I want to pitch 220 innings, and don't ever take me out of a game. That's what I think this staff is demanding.
Okay.
But I
That attitude.
That attitude. But I do give a lot of credit to a 20-year-old kid who grew up watching one of the best closers in baseball history in Mariano Rivera.
Right, yeah.
Who I think takes a lot of pride in the stress and pressure of closing out a game. And half of me is like, man, don't say that, because you should want to be a starter. Whereas the other half of me says, I like that you want and you demand that pressure on yourself because you want to be the go-to guy, not once every 5 days,
right. Yeah.
But no, basically 3 or 4 times a week.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's an interesting thing to think about because you already have this scenario playing out with Aaron Sanchez, a bullpen guy who is awesome in the bullpen. We would love to have, as a Jays fan, you would love to have him in the bullpen. Why not? He was an eighth-inning gem. He shut down everybody. And I look at Osuna the same way. Hey, if you could have that arm, that live arm up in the rotation, why not? But first of all, I'm not buying that he couldn't throw 200 innings. He's, what, 20 years old? I know he's had some elbow and shoulder issues, but man, maybe that's why he's saying it. But I think he's young enough and he could do it, what they do with stem cells and steroids these days. He could throw 200 innings, no problem.
Just get some juice in the kid.
Yeah,
be
juice
fine.
Him up. But I love Osuna coming out throwing smoke in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
And I think when it comes down to it, so does the Blue Jays brass. There's no way that kid's going to the rotation. When was the last time you remembered a guy coming out of the Jays bullpen and it's like, you're not worried, BJ Ryan?
It was the 90s, man. They won World Series.
Well, actually, I go back to a guy named Billy Koch who was throwing smoke, straight
the
gas.
Goat. The goat. Do you remember that?
He was pretty solid for a couple
of
years.
Did he have like 40 saves that, or 38 saves that one year?
No, he hit 40. We can look it up if we want to, but...
Oh, my God.
Billy Koch.
Billy Koch, great name.
Yeah, Billy Koch was awesome for the Jays, and you know what? He had an amazing goatee as well, but it's that kind of live arm, and I think it hasn't been since a guy like that when Billy Koch was in his prime for the Jays. We haven't had a shutdown arm in the bullpen in Toronto in a long time. As a fan, as a guy watching the Jays, when Osuna comes out, it's almost calming. Yeah, he hit a couple of bumps. He's 20 years old.
Yeah.
I think the Jays, the smart move is to keep him, keep the youngster in the bullpen. Got to keep him there. I love that he's saying that he wants to be there too because it's magic. It's also magic happening on the ice in Toronto. It's just magic happening everywhere.
That's the thing. I was going to say, you got the young kids that are dominating for the Blue Jays right now. They're going to be the key pieces for the Blue Jays outside of the offense.
Yeah.
Is going to be youth. And that's really exciting to see.
It's youth all around.
Whereas the Leafs, there's not even a thought of it because you get to watch it every 2 days.
Yeah. Well, of course.
And it's been amazing to see, except for the fact that they're winning games.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And if Edmonton wins the first overall pick, I can't take this.
No,
Leafs better start. Send them down. They got to send them all down for playing good. Nylander,
Edmonton Oilers. Like, Paul Pierce might as well be playing in net while it happens just to, like, throw me out completely over the edge.
If I got to see Daryl Cates' kid give another guy a jersey, I'm going to lose it.
Honestly, like, in all seriousness, Edmonton's a mess. Let's just put this scenario on for a sec. You give Mike Babcock even three of those guys. The Leafs make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I'm saying not even McDavid. They keep McDavid. McDavid's out.
Give me like Eberle, Hall,
give him Eberle, Dreisaitl, and thing. Leafs make the playoffs. So I don't know what's going on in Edmonton. That's bonkers.
Yeah. The kids in Toronto, though, man.
The kids are all right. And honestly, cred's got to go to Babs, man. Holy. And maybe I'm drinking the Leafs Kool-Aid on that one. But the man's got to deserve some credit. Like, would this team be looking like this even half of what it's doing if Randy Carlyle is behind the bench?
No, absolutely not.
No, wait, Ron Francis? Why do I always say that? Ron Wilson. Jeez, I hate that guy. Anyway, would that be happening? No way. So creds to Babs and creds to the scouting department and Lou and Shanny, because some of these guys like Shoshnikov, who came from the K, like not even a draft pick. Like he's an unsigned.
No, he was a draft pick.
Was he a draft?
Yeah,
you sure?
Yeah, he was a draft pick.
Damn, all right, I got to check the sites I'm using.
He was just playing in the KHL, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, I'm going to check this.
All right, double check.
Go ahead.
I think Valiev was the one that was signed out of the KHL.
Okay.
But we can double check.
But anyway, like guys like this, it's just exciting things going on, and it's not even from the guys you expected it from. But that's happening as well because Nylander is cooking. Three-lander, got 3 points the other night. I'm using that. I stole that from someone on the radio.
Oh, you're right. He was undrafted.
Thank you.
Wow, look at that.
Thank you. I was like, what am I reading? I like hockeyreference.com.
No, they're good.
But yeah, so, you know, like Toronto media, like you've heard all about it. So it's like, we're not going to talk about this too much. But the one thing that we can genuinely say that, you know what, you know, and it's been said, these young players that the Leafs have, these aren't the guys that, you know, maybe a couple years ago, you know, oh yeah, they're gonna
move. John Pohl.
They're gonna move him though. Or you know what I mean? Oh, they're gonna trade him out, or oh, he won't be here. You're looking at these guys like these are the guys that are gonna be here. These are the players that are gonna be moving forward with the team. At least you gotta believe that. Especially like guys like Zach Hyman. Like I know Zach Hyman, you know a little bit more than most about.
Yeah.
He's been playing really well.
Well,
he deserves some credit for sure.
You took the words right out of my mouth. When you look at out of all the young guys that have come up, granted, like by calling him a young guy, he's a year younger than me, so he's 24 years old.
Joe, you're still pretty young, pal.
I'm still pretty young, yeah.
We're in a bit of a funk right now,
yeah,
but you know, at least you still got the age.
Yeah,
you know?
But you know, like you watch Hyman play, and you know, just by seeing him, that he is an NHL player, like a bona fide NHL player.
Yeah.
And you look at the fact that he's already scored 4 goals. He's been great in the offensive zone. He's defensively sound. He reminds me a lot of potentially being like Babcock's Darren Helm or Justin Abdelkader.
Yeah,
he has the grittiness.
He's got a little. He plays with a bit of an edge.
Yes.
And I think that's what I like about him the most.
Right. And, and Babcock had said, somebody asked him, you know, how fast is Zach Hyman? And Babs was like, oh, well, you know, he might not be that fast, but when your legs are moving that fast, you're going to look fast. So
Babs is just such a genius.
Yeah, he's got some quotes where he's just like, what are you talking about?
He's the best. He's doing so well. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
But you look at, that's the one thing that's very impressive to me because everyone was looking at Zach Hyman this season saying, well, you know what, the AHL is not for him. He's an NHL guy, he's ready. But instead of that, they basically made sure to install the Leaf systems in him under no pressure. Mm. And I think that's where you hit the nail on the head talking about Babcock.
Yeah.
He gave Sheldon Keefe a system. He said, this is the way the Toronto Maple Leafs play. Install that. Tell them there's no pressure. They'll make mistakes with you, but when they get to me, no mistakes.
Yeah.
And the first thing you've noticed, Soshnikov doesn't look out of place.
No.
William Nylander, the only time he looks out of place is when he just tries to rely on his talent.
And
he tries to skill himself out of situations.
And I've seen it with a couple of guys, and you're killing it right now with these points, but I've seen it from a couple of the young guys. They have a bit of a tendency to stay out there a little bit too long.
Right.
You know, to push them. Like you said, rely on their – get like they're they've been killing it in the AHL this year. The Marlies are the best team, hands down by far, are going to go to the Calder probably.
Yeah.
And smoke it. I've seen a couple times, and you'll hear the guys on whatever you're watching say it.
Yeah.
Long shift for Nylander. He's got to cut those down, and then you'll see Babcock right in his ear. They've been a tendency, and that'll come with experience, and you're seeing it. You know what I mean? And you're seeing it already, I think, in the paying off of, I'm looking at this list of young players. Let's go with Josh Levo, Brendan Leipzig, Dmytro Timoshov, William Nylander, Freddie the Goat, even if you want to throw him in there, who got a sniff and played okay.
Well, he's going to be a solid third or fourth line center in the NHL.
And why not? He's a big guy. Things are starting to fall into place for this team. I'm going to go even down and drop a couple names on you here that I've been reading about.
Yep.
Obviously, Kasperi Kapanen. Obviously, Mitchell Marner. Jeremy Bracco.
Yeah.
Having a great year with the Kitchener Rangers, I think.
Yeah, little guy.
Little guy. But these are like, I'm starting to see these things and I'm like, you got to start trusting what the Hunters, what the Lamorellos, the Dubases are doing now, because in the short track record they have, don't get me wrong, it's
right.
1 year, 1.5 years, whatever. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid a bit.
Yeah.
But the performance is there. You know what I mean? Like the
on-ice,
it's
Travis
there.
Travis Dermott, the little defenseman out of
there. You go. They're all Erie. Having – and Timoshov in the queue. He's killing it. And then had a great World Junior. So it's like – yeah, you know, you can go flip, calm down, but it's like I'm seeing tangible things.
Right.
So you got to start trusting in the system that's coming, because look at what they've done already. So now we've got – Toronto has all these picks. Now you can start to get excited, because look at what you have, and that was with dealing with the mess that they had from before with contracts, bad players, whatever. Now that's all cleaned out.
Yeah.
And picks are coming? All those years you and I took flack for having a terrible hockey team in this town.
Yeah.
The Sens fans, the Red Wing fans, and I won't even go there, the Montreal Canadiens fans. All I got to say is for all those people that know that you stuck it to me for so long because the team was bad, you are about to get it back twice as hard, because this Leafs team.
You got to hope.
They're going to be for real. They're going to be for real, and I know it's going to be a couple years. There's no goalie. Defense is still questionable. And there's not a lot of depth up the middle. So we can temper excitement, but it's coming. It's coming. I'm believing it.
Here's my
– hyped up, Joe.
I know.
Hyped up.
You're so excited. He's actually bleeding blue right now.
Hold on. I'm dabbing the sweat, and I'm good.
I think that Toronto Maple Leaf fans should not be stressed about the NHL draft lottery. That is my opinion.
Explain.
On April 30th, the Leafs will either be happy or heartbroken, and there's an 80% chance that the Leafs will be heartbroken.
April 30th is the lottery?
Yeah. So there's a big chance that the Leafs will not win the first overall pick in the draft. There's a huge chance that it's going to be Edmonton, let's be honest. They just win it every year.
That would... Anyway,
it would be sad.
That would be so
But
crazy.
Here's the thing.
It would be so crazy.
When you look at the teams, okay, that have been very dominant, outside of the one Stanley Cup that... the Pittsburgh Penguins won, okay?
Yep.
Of late,
yeah. So you're talking about L.A. and Chicago.
And even you can even add Anaheim if you want with
okay.
a cup.
Sure.
All right?
Good team.
Those teams do not have a plethora of first overall picks. They have a plethora of top eight, top fives, top tens.
Mm-hmm.
Other than, I think, Patrick Kane in Chicago. Jonathan Toews was not a first overall pick.
So
Duncan Keith was not a first overall pick.
Where are you going with this?
What I'm going with this is that if you look at what Edmonton has done with first overall picks.
Picks don't equal success.
Also, picks equal stress to draft the most talented player, not the right player. And sometimes that causes mistakes.
I like this. So you're saying the lower the draft pick.
In a reasonable level.
And to a reasonable degree, you're saying maybe it's a little less stress on upper management.
Right, because you look at players' intangibles.
So you can go at a guy that, this guy really intrigues me.
Right.
I got it.
So
I like it.
Now let's.
I like it.
I understand Austin Matthews is the best pick for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but that's just because he's a 6'4" center. So
yes.
Here's the thing. Imagine the number one overall pick was a 5'11" right winger who could skate, dangle, and shoot the puck, and wasn't very physical.
Theo Fleury.
Okay, and you already drafted Mitch Marner.
Mm-hmm.
There's a high possibility you're just going to take that guy anyways, because you're not going to move down from the first overall pick, and then you're not, right?
Yeah, you're not going to do that.
I think what Leaf fans need to understand is you might not get Austin Matthews. Let's be honest, you probably are not going to get Austin Matthews, but you do have a chance of getting Puljujarvi, who's a huge center who's unreal. You do have a chance of getting Laine, who's a great left winger, who's a big body, 6'4", again, who can play, who's been playing the center.
Everything I'm reading is those three guys you just mentioned are all NHL-ready impact players.
Exactly.
So
then
that's good.
You have another two guys who I'm very intrigued with in Matthew Tkachuk.
Okay.
Who's a 6'1", big-bodied winger.
Who's that defenseman that people are liking?
Jacob Chychrun.
Chychrun.
So that, and that's the second
guy. Is that the other guy?
Yeah, that's the second guy I was really hyped for. What I like about Tkachuk is you know everything about him.
Because because of his dad and the attention and OHL.
And he's a London Knight.
There you go.
So you know his whole life story, essentially. And Jacob Chychrun, he comes again from another family background in the NHL. Mm-hmm. He's a big, solid defenseman. I saw him play. He was very, a very good skater.
You know what's funny?
There's potential there.
But you mentioned Chychrun.
Yeah.
And you mentioned his size and these intangibles about him. And I can see the Leafs taking him. You know what I mean?
Right.
I can see, and everyone's saying, oh, we need a center, which the Leafs do.
Yeah.
They need a winger, whatever. They need every position filled. They're rebuilding.
Yeah.
So who knows who they take?
Well, look at Ron Francis' decision. You brought him up a couple minutes ago. He chose Noah Hanifin.
Right.
And everybody looked at him and said, well, I mean, you did leave off offensive upside. But who does he also have? He has Justin Falk. He's looking at a guy like Noah Hanifin. He has Jeff Skinner. He might have a goalie in Eddie Lack. And he's sitting there thinking, I'm building for my backup.
Mm-hmm. So, no, I like that.
For Toronto fans, don't stress out.
Don't stress
out. If the city gets Austin Matthews,
guys,
fantastic.
Don't stress out.
But the Leafs are proving that within a year and a half, they were able to draft talent and skill that we haven't seen potentially since, I guess, when you had like Stajan, Wellwood, Steen, and those guys. Steen looked fantastic, but he never had the offensive upside of a guy like William Nylander or, you know, the potential of a Kapanen.
Well, and I think, again, exactly what you said about the turnaround. And I think that is what's most exciting and what leads me to believe that in that short time, what they've accomplished, and it's like, flip, wake up, they're in dead last and sinking. It's what they've accomplished in such a short time in terms of player development and turning over the lineup.
Yeah.
I got to believe that it's going to be a continued thing. Like, they're not going anywhere. No. Lou and these guys, they're there. They're the Leafs front office is set. Behind the bench is set. Let's go. It's going to happen, people. Don't get, you know, too crazy Toronto-type fans. It's coming. You and I will be able to finally feed some of those chirps back to people that deserve it.
So I have a question for you.
Okay, before we wrap.
Before we wrap, you said to me, almost a year ago.
Was it in Florida?
No, it was here. You said, oh, that's great. You got a bunch of guys in suits, and they can't play hockey.
On ice.
When are you getting me the guys on the ice? Because I don't really care what you look like in a suit.
Mm-hmm. I said that.
How do you feel now about what the suits accomplished for you on the ice going forward? You don't have to, like, not that they're perfect. They're
1 year later.
Because
you're right. It's 1 year later, and I did say that because that's all we heard about last year in Toronto was because the team was so garbage and fell down the stretch. All you heard about was Dubas, Lou.
Yeah, it was a Harry Rosen first line.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, yeah. with that being said, and now a year later, and I'm was, you know, put up or shut up with the on-ice product, our thing is letter grades.
Yeah.
I give them a B+ because the team is still in last place. I can't give an A. That doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
But they pretty much deserve an A. Dumping the contracts they did, the picks that they have brought in, performing the way they have, and the Marlies performing, that's the thing people don't realize. All the players on the Marlies, they're all Leafs picks.
Yeah.
Or you know, they're homegrown guys. So
except for Matt Fratton, but he's never leaving.
Yeah, you know, popcorn at the Rico. But it's going to happen. It's coming. It's coming as fast as maybe the next episode. This is episode 37, biggest sports show in TO. We've hit a little bit of a rough patch, but we're coming out of it stronger than ever. Check us out on all of our platforms, www.sportsfromthesix.com. That's coming back hotter than ever. Joe, I'm Flip. Thanks for listening, guys.